Well, once again, everyone, welcome to this pre-recorded worship service. We're recording here in the church building in Claretz on Friday, the 29th of January. And this service is for our morning service on the 31st of January, Lord's Day, 31st of January. And then afterwards, hope to record the evening service. And these will go onto our church website and also be copied to CD. I seem to have quite a long list of announcements before we come to worship. So I'll go through these. Monday, the 1st of February, from 7:30 to 8:30, there's a Northern Presbytery prayer time, and that is via Zoom. That's a monthly prayer time, the first Monday in the month, and that's open to anyone in the Northern Presbytery. Tuesday evening, then, will be our own church midweek prayer time. It's on a Tuesday night this week because Wednesday there's a presbytery meeting on. So this is at 8 o'clock on Tuesday for 40 minutes prayer time via Zoom. Then on Wednesday evening at 7:30, the Northern Presbytery meets again via Zoom. And William Hanna is the elder for Claretz for that meeting of presbytery. Thursday evening, then the 4th of February, at 8 o'clock, there's a women's fellowship prayer meeting. This is the denomination-wide women's fellowship. The last time one of these meetings was held, there was capacity for 100 ladies, and there were more than 100. So some folk missed out, but this time there's room for 500, and that should be plenty of room. So that's at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. It starts at 8 o'clock on Wednesday evening. I will post information about these various meetings, the joining information, and anything else that I can give. I'll put that onto the church WhatsApp group. So those are four different meetings, Monday through to Thursday. Then, in regard to our arrangements for next Lord's Day, the 7th of February, I carried out a bit of a poll of the elders just recently to see what arrangements we would put in place for the first couple of Sabbaths in February. And the outcome of that was that we agreed that we would have a morning service, but not a meeting together evening service. So the plan is for the 7th of February that there would be a morning service in our church hall with room also in the church building for those who normally come to the church building. Now, there'll be a visiting preacher. I've been booked to preach in Enniskillen. And they are having live services in Enniskillen, and so I'm due to preach there on the 7th of February. And the minister due to take the service here in Claretz is Reverend Blair McFarland, the former minister of Brady Reformed Presbyterian Church and formerly missionary in Nantes. The evening service then, the plan is that will be pre-recorded on Friday evening, the 5th of February. The recordings, the CD recordings of the service that's our evening service recorded on the Friday evening, those will be distributed on Saturday. That's the plan. The evening service will be uploaded to the church website on Saturday night, so it will be available on the Lord's Day. There'll be a gathering for worship here then at noon, and that service, or morning service, that will be uploaded to the church website as soon as possible after the service, so it should be there. It should be there by 2 o'clock, and then the CD recordings of that morning service, those won't be distributed until Monday. I'm going to be in Enniskillen, and I think by the time I get home from Enniskillen, I'll not probably be heading out and about again. So the CDs for the morning service will be distributed on Monday to those who to those who normally get CDs. So that's the arrangements for the 7th. Be a similar arrangement for the 14th, unless anything changes, except that I would be the preacher on the 14th. So the infection levels, the number of new cases has come down a fair bit, particularly in our part of the country. Not so much in the southern council areas within Northern Ireland, but in this part of the country, they have come down fairly well. So the elders were of a mind to have a morning service, and session is due to meet on Wednesday, the 10th of February, and we will review things at that stage. Then other announcements: the magazines, the Covenanter Witness subscription, £13, and the Bulwark subscription, £15, are due now. The reports for the annual general meeting, the only written reports that we aim to have would be the session report and the deacon's report, but we need financial reports, all the normal financial reports. There may not be too much to report in some cases, but we need to have those reports. And those who are able to get those through by email, if you can get a copy to myself and also a copy to Harold, is, I think, the best way to do it. Senior camp reunion. Last year, senior camp reunion worship with us here in Kilrats in February 2020, back in the days when we were able to have such things. This year, there is an online event on Saturday the 13th of February, and it's at 7 o'clock, Saturday the 13th of February. Reverend Gareth Burke will be speaking. There'll be time for discussion and prayer, and there'll be some of the crazy senior camp type events being organised, and they are being kept under wraps at present. But that's when that's happening, the 13th of February at 7 o'clock. Then we've received letters of thanks from Tear Fund and from the Leprosy Mission. £500 went to both of those organisations at the end of last year, and letters of thanks have been received for those donations. There was due to be a meeting of the Board of Deacons on Monday the 1st of February, and that is being put off, put to a week later. So that will be Monday the 8th of February, and then the session are due to meet on Wednesday the 10th of February. So those are the many announcements for now. And we turn now to the worship of God. And the opening item of praise is the second half of Psalm 111. Psalm 111, singing stanzas 5 to 9, and the tune is Warwick, number 173. Stanza 5 says of God, "He has provided food for those who truly do him fear, and in his mind forevermore his covenant holds dear." And God will hold true to the saving covenant that he has made with his people. And at the end of the psalm it says, "The one who fears the Lord has learned the first of wisdom's ways." Those who are truly wise are those who fear the Lord. Many other things that we can fear, but we're truly wise if above all we have a fear of the Lord. So Psalm 111, we sing stanzas 5 to 9 of this psalm. The tune is Warwick, number 173, and after this singing, I'll speak to God then in prayer.
He has provided food for those who truly do him fear, and in his mind for acts to his own propulsion by giving them the heritage of nations as their own. All his hands' works are true and just. His precepts all are sure, and done in truth and uprightness, they evermore endure. He sent redemption to his folk, his covenant and most holy is his name. The one who fears the Lord has learned the first of wisdom's ways. Those who obey will understand
. Now we speak to God in prayer. Gracious God in heaven, we praise you for the great and wise God that you are. And Lord, we confess that we ourselves are not wise. There is much foolishness within us. You tell us in your word that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And Lord, we know that foolishness is very difficult to shift. And so we pray, forgive us, O Lord, for all the ways in which we have acted foolishly, all the wise things we have left undone, and the foolish things that we have done instead. We praise you, O Lord, that your word shows us the ways and thoughts and paths of wisdom. And so we pray that you would cause us to be those who would humbly accept your word and believe that what you say is wise really is wise. And you tell us, O Lord, that the one who fears the Lord has learned the first of wisdom's ways. And so we pray that you'll give us that right and proper and healthy fear of the Lord. We give thanks, Lord, for the opportunity to look to you now in worship. We praise you for the gospel freedoms that we have. We rejoice, O Lord, that we are able to look to you and to do what we're doing now. And even though we're not meeting together as we would normally do, we give thanks, Lord, that we are able to do what we are doing, and that we don't have authorities checking on us, searching our houses for Bibles, making sure that we're not having any kind of gatherings for worship. Lord, we praise you for our freedoms, and we pray that you help us, O Lord, to cherish those freedoms, and we pray, O God, that we will be able to rejoice in them in the future more than we ever have done so in the past. Lord, help us now as we seek to worship you. We pray that you will pardon our sins. We pray that you'll work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And we pray that your light will shine into our darkness, and to do so, Lord, for your own glory. Hear our prayers now. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we look to God's Word, turning to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. I want to read again the verses that we were considering last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then read a little bit further. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 10. And we went to verse 17 last week. And then the verses that I want to speak on today are from 18 through to 25. So the church Bible, the pew Bible, the pages here are 1012 and 1013. This is God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and reading from verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. And we end our reading there at verse 25. Now I'll say a few words to the children. And there in those verses that I've read, there's a lot about foolishness and about wisdom. And it tells us about people who are wise, and it tells us about people who are foolish. And what people think about God shows us if they're wise people or if they're foolish people. Psalm 14, verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's the way it is with some people. They try to convince themselves that there is no God, that there is no God who sees all that they do. There is no God who hears all that they say. There is no God who knows all that they think. But there is a God. And just because we can't see God doesn't mean that he doesn't see us. You can't see me at the minute, and I can't see you, but I know that you're there, and you know that I'm here. And it's a fool who says that there is no God. But not everybody that believes there is a God is wise. There are other people who say they believe in God, but the God they believe in isn't the real God. and they just believe in a God that suits them. They believe in a God who will give them whatever they want. They believe in a God who just loves everybody, and who in the end is going to let everyone into heaven. And those people are foolish as well, because there is no such God. It's not up to us to say what God is like. It's up to God to tell us what he is like. And so there's foolish people who say there is no God. There's foolish people who believe in a God they've made up for themselves. But there are also wise people. And wise people believe that God knows best what God is really like. Wise people believe that God tells us the truth about himself in the Bible. And wise people believe that Jesus, as the Son of God, shows us exactly what God is like. People who are wise trust God to tell us the truth about himself. So let's make sure we believe in the God that we read of in the Bible, not some God that we've made up or that we believe that there is no God at all. There are those who are foolish, but there are also those who are wise. Now we come to God in our prayers, and we remember those who find life very difficult in these days. We remember the congregations, a couple of our congregations that don't have a minister at present. I mentioned today a congregation of Stranorler, which is in County Donegal. And Stranorler has been vacant for a long time. Their interim moderator at present is Reverend Ian Morrison. They've had various different men serving as interim moderator in Stranorler. Well, Ian lives in Ballymoney. Ballymoney isn't very near to Stranorler, so you can imagine that it's not easy for Ian in the work that he has to do there in looking after the Stranorler congregation. So remember them. And then also remember the congregation of Lough Brickland in our Southern Presbytery. Their minister was Reverend David Silversides, who retired due to ill health. He had been there for 30 years, and so they're vacant after a long ministry. They have called Reverend Kenneth Stewart, the Glasgow minister, and they're waiting at present to hear the outcome of that call. Reverend Robert Robb, minister in Ballenan and Ballylane, is the interim moderator in Lough Brickland. So we remember these two vacant congregations. Today in Dervock, RP Church is the last day that Philip Dunwoody is there as the minister of Dervock, and at the evening time they're due to have a baptism of little Jessica McConaughey, daughter of Peter and Debbie McConaughey. So we remember the Dervock folk today, and it's a big day in the life of that congregation. And remember the Dunwoodies as they move in due course to Dromore. So these are some of the things I hope to pray for. Let's now look to God in our prayers. Gracious Father in heaven, we praise you for the blessing of being able to come to you in our prayers. Not coming to you as those who are strangers, not coming to you as to someone who doesn't know anything at all about our situations. We think, Lord, of those who would be high in authority that we might take our issues to, and they wouldn't know us. They wouldn't know anything about what our lives are like. But, Lord, we praise you that you know, and we praise you that we can come to you as our Father in heaven through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we look to one who daily shows us your mercies and your kindness. And we thank you, Lord, that every day there are new blessings that we receive from you. And Lord, we bring before you at this time those of our congregation for whom life is very difficult in these days. We pray for some who are elderly, for some who have debilitating illnesses, some who are frail in their bodies, and others who are frail in their minds. And Lord, we pray for your mercies towards all who find each day of life to be a test and a challenge. And Lord, we pray that your strength would be made known in the midst of weakness. We pray that there will be comfort that you will provide in your word. And we pray, O Lord, that there will be little blessings that you would send that will help folk along, that there will be little encouragements that you would provide. And we thank you that our Lord and Savior knows what it's like to live in this difficult world. And we praise you that he is full of compassion, full of understanding, and one that we can look to when we feel utterly weak within ourselves. We pray, Lord, for our land in these days. We pray for the health situation with still many people in hospital. And we pray for our health and care workers, that you will give them energy, help them to keep going, O Lord, in the midst of very difficult times for them. We pray for all those patients with the things that they're struggling with. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be pleased to grant improvement in the health of many. We pray that many will be well enough in due course to get home, and that they will get over the things that they've been suffering from. We pray for families for whom these times are difficult, those who have loved ones in hospital or in nursing homes, or just where there are particularly concerning issues. And Lord, we pray for your daily provision, that each day you will remember what folk are going through, and that you will meet them at their point of need. We give thanks, Lord, for the congregation in Dervock. We pray for them today, with this being Philip's last day as their minister. And we pray, O Lord, that it would be a blessed day. We pray for that baptism service, and we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon that. We pray for Peter and Debbie. We thank you for the children that you've blessed them with, and we pray for them as they seek to nurture little Jessica. We pray that she will keep well and grow well, that she will be loved and cared for, and that she will know you as a wonderful Savior from an early age. We pray, Lord, for the congregations that don't have a minister. We pray for Stranorler Church, small congregation there. We pray for those people. We ask, Lord, that you will help them to delight in your word, help them to be a support to one another. Pray for Ian Morrison and his work as interim moderator. Pray for the elders there in Stranorler. Help them, O Lord, to do what they can. And we pray for the Lochbrickland congregation. Help them, O Lord, as they await the outcome of their call. We pray that if that call is accepted, that they will be able to delight in that. And we pray that they will be able to make the new ministry a success. And we pray that if the call is declined, that you will help them, O Lord, to accept that. We pray for Robert Robb as their interim moderator, that you'll help him, O Lord, in the task he has there. And we pray that you will look after your people and do a good work there in that congregation. Remember our mission work in Nantes. We thank you, Lord, for that work. We thank you for all that has been done over the years. And we pray for the ongoing work in these times. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon the services that they have. We pray, O Lord, for your blessing upon Bible studies, and we pray that they will make progress in their plans for a new place to meet. And we pray that all the different people from different places will knit together well and be a beautiful picture of what the Church of Jesus Christ is like and how it unites people who are very different. We pray for our political leaders in Stormont. Help them, O Lord, in the matters that they're dealing with. Give them wisdom and help them to make progress. We pray for our politicians at Westminster. We pray for the government there. We pray for the relationship between the UK and the European Union and all the squabbles that are there already. We pray that these things can be worked through and good solutions can be achieved. And Lord, we ask that you will guide and direct things. We pray, O Lord, for the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see so many things that are hindering the spread of the gospel in these days. But, O Lord, we pray that you would be at work and that your word will not be chained, but that it will get out and that it would be heard and it would be received. Hear these things, Lord. We pray all now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in looking at the letter of 1 Corinthians, I want to speak today on the verses in chapter 1 from verse 18 and through to verse 25. Some issues tend to divide people into one camp or the other, and all sorts of issues can do that. Some of them are great big worldwide issues, and others are little insignificant issues. Recently, with the presidential election in America, the Americans were very much divided into two camps. You were either a Democrat or you were a Republican. Recently also, in recent years in the United Kingdom, we had the referendum about leaving the European Union, and people were divided into two camps. There were the Brexiteers and there were the Remainers. And often it is the case that when you have a referendum of some sort, there are just two choices, and you have to go one way or the other. Now, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in these verses 18 to 25, the Apostle Paul is writing about an issue that divides people into two groups. In the previous verses, he was expressing his disapproval about things that were in danger of dividing the church in Corinth. But now he writes in these verses about something that divides all people. And it is what he refers to in verse 17 as the gospel. And in verse 18, he calls it the message of the cross. The gospel divides people into two groups. The gospel that Paul had preached in Corinth and the gospel that Paul preached everywhere he had gone, he describes it in verse 18 as the message of the cross. It was a cross-shaped gospel that Paul proclaimed. It was the message of the cross. Verse 23, he talks about preaching Christ crucified. And the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, that was at the heart of the message that Paul and the other apostles proclaimed. And that's the message that people in those days needed to hear. And it still is. And no matter what their religious background was, they needed to hear about Christ crucified. They needed to hear the message of the cross. And the gospel is a bit like a referendum. The gospel is something where you're either for it or you are against it. The gospel divides all of us into one camp or the other. The gospel calls upon us to make a decision. And just like it was with the European Union, you had to decide to leave or to remain. So it is with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to decide, are you going to remain in your sin and under condemnation, or are you going to leave? Are you going to leave that sin in order to follow Christ? So I want to look today at this passage, thinking about the remainers and thinking about the leavers. And first of all, I want to speak about the remainers, those who remain in their sin. To those who reject the gospel, Paul says that the message of the cross is foolishness. And there's a word that sort of comes into our own language from the Greek that the Apostle Paul used. The word moron comes from the Greek word for a fool. And you might sometimes hear that word being used today for a very stupid person. If someone's particularly stupid, they might be described as a moron. And that is how some non-Christians view anyone who believes the gospel today. They think you really have to be very, very stupid to believe that kind of stuff. And those who believe that the message of the cross is foolishness, they do so because their own wisdom directs them to do that. Well, Paul doesn't have much confidence in their wisdom. And in verse 19, he's quoting words from Isaiah 29, verse 14, about God destroying the wisdom of the wise. And then in verse 20, he says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Is that not something that we see as a reality at the present time? How have the worldly wise men of this world, how have they been doing in this present pandemic? How have all the wise men, with all their knowledge and understanding, how have they coped in these days? Have these things not really served to show how little we human beings know? Paul says in verse 21 that the world, through wisdom, did not know God. That's the way it is. When people follow their own wisdom, when people lean on their own understanding, it leads them away from God rather than towards God. There is a way that seems right to mankind, but it isn't right at all. And the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, it wasn't the good news that many people wanted, and so they rejected it. It didn't please many of the Jews in Corinth, and it didn't please many of the Greeks in Corinth either. It wasn't their kind of gospel. It wasn't what they were wanting, what they wanted to believe. Paul says in verse 22, for Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. And he's saying, that's not what I had. That's not what I was offering. The Jews looked for impressive signs. They remembered the great things that God did in Old Testament times. They remembered the flood. They remembered God parting the waters of the Red Sea. They remembered God stopping the flow of the River Jordan. They remembered the walls of Jericho come crashing down. And they expected that when God's Messiah came, he would be a Messiah who would do great things. They looked for a sign. And then there came among them Jesus of Nazareth. And he gave sight to the blind. And he fed the 5,000 with very little. He fed the 4,000 with very little. He walked on water. He calmed the storm with a few words. He raised the dead, and he himself rose from the dead. Never was there one who walked the earth who did more amazing signs than Jesus of Nazareth. And the Jews request a sign, and they had sign after sign after sign, and they didn't believe. They didn't believe because he was crucified. And that was to the Jews a stumbling block, or one commentator translates it, a death trap. They fell into it. A crucified Messiah. That didn't tie in with their wisdom, even if it did tie in with their scriptures. They read the scriptures, and they believed their own thing. People still do that. Read the scriptures. Follow your own heart. Not what it says in the Word of God. The message of the cross was rejected by so many of the Jews. Neither did the message of the cross make any sense to the Greeks. Verse 22, Paul says, the Greeks seek after wisdom. And to the Greeks and to all sorts of Gentiles, the message of Christ crucified seemed to be foolishness, as Paul says in verse 23. It was too simple a message. It was too good to be true. It wasn't their kind of gospel, because it gave no glory to the searching mind of man. Their kind of gospel would be a man going in search of God, a man triumphing over all the obstacles that stood in the way of finding God, that sort of gospel. But Christ crucified, well, that really didn't fit the bill at all. And so the people of Paul's day had their different reasons for rejecting the message of the cross. And to you today who are rejecting the message of the cross, I ask you, what's your reason? What good reason do you have for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel? What good reason do you have for choosing to remain in your sin rather than choosing to leave your sin and follow Christ? See what Paul says about the people who are rejecting the gospel in verse 18. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those who are perishing. You might think that you're managing all right in life. Things are going okay for you without being a follower of Jesus Christ. But God says that in fact, you are perishing. and you will perish forever. Leave a piece of fruit sitting, and it'll not stay the same. It'll change in its texture. It'll change in its appearance. You'll see some green fungus maybe appearing on it, and you'll see gradually that there will be a change taking place. Happens slowly, perishes slowly, and we perish slowly, little by little. We think we're doing all right. We think we're managing, but we're perishing outside of Christ. That's how it is. Remain in your sin. Do what's right in your own eyes. Follow the way that makes sense to you, and you will perish. Jesus Christ had to be crucified in order that we might not perish. In the great gospel referendum, there are the remainers. There are those who choose to remain in their sin. Those who don't want this Savior and his salvation. And they are those who are perishing. Well, the apostle also tells us about the leavers. Paul himself had once thought that the message of the cross was foolishness, but he didn't think that anymore. Now he sees things in a very different light. And he says in verse 18, "But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The message of the cross is the power of God. Verse 21, he says that it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And in verse 24, he says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." And in his own experience, Paul knew that he had been called by God to leave his old life behind and to follow Jesus. And he had done that. And he knew that others had been called in the same way. He says in verse 24 that both Jews and Greeks had also been called and were also following Christ. And how were they called? They were called by means of hearing the message that was preached to them. And it had pleased God, Paul says, to save those who believed that message. That was God's way. They would hear the message, and they would believe the message, and they would be saved. And that message, which some saw as being the height of foolishness, was to others the saving power of God. Not only the power of God, also the wisdom of God. And so the Apostle Paul knew that when he was saved, he gained a whole new wisdom. He came to see things in the right way. And he gained a new power. No longer did he labor in his own strength, but now the power of God's Spirit was at work within him. And if the Lord has saved you, then you know that these things are true. Once you were an unbeliever, once you were perishing, and God called you out of that, and he opened your eyes, and he opened your ears to the message of the cross, and that message of the cross, message of Christ crucified, you saw the wisdom of that. It made sense to you. The glorious, simple wisdom of the cross. You saw Christ crucified, and you understood that he certainly wasn't crucified for his own sins. And you grasp that he was dying there for the sins of others. He was dying in the place of others. He was dying as a substitute. And you saw and understood that you needed to believe in him as being your substitute, as taking your sin upon himself. And when you did believe that, and when you left your old life and your old ways behind, well, you knew that you had been saved. And you knew that something had changed. And you knew that your new, powerful Savior would be your shepherd forever. And you know now that you have a Father in heaven, a Father who has called you into this salvation. And he's done it because of the love that he set upon you. And now you know God. You don't know God through your own wisdom. You didn't figure it out for yourself. But you know him through the foolishness of the message that was preached, the message of Christ crucified. And what you need to do now is to keep on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on following him. Keep on leaving your sin behind. You mustn't go back to that which you've left behind. And as you do that, you need to understand what life is going to be like. You need to remember that the world will not see you as being wise in the choice you've made. Those who are perishing will not be envious of you. They'll think you're a fool. They'll see you as a bit simple, as a bit gullible. They'll be surprised that you would fall for this kind of stuff. Don't be surprised by that. That's what God's word teaches us to expect. Don't be discouraged when that's the way it feels to you. Paul reminds us in verse 25 that the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. And Christ crucified seems to the world to be foolishness, and it seems to the world to be weakness. It looks like a waste of life, and it looks like defeat. But it is true wisdom, and it is true strength. And we live in a time when there are many who will openly scoff at the message of the cross, the morality of the Christian life, and at those who hold to that message and that morality. And there are many today in the media, in politics, in the workplace, in schools, and in colleges who will view anyone who believes the Bible and who follows Jesus as being a bit of a simpleton. And our views may be seen as being not even worthy of consideration. As if the gospel is something that was disproved decades ago and has no place in modern society. Well, the gospel has not been disproved. The gospel has been rejected. And the world, in its foolishness, has rejected the only Savior that there is. And many today would be happy to see that gospel of Christ crucified, to see it buried, put away, out of sight forever. They don't want any mention of sin. They don't want any mention of a day of judgment. They don't want any mention of everlasting punishment in hell. People don't want to hear about Jesus being crucified for the sins of others, because they don't want to accept that they are sinners in any meaningful sense of that word. And these are the times that we live in. When there is a political referendum, which we have from time to time, when there is a political referendum, it's whichever case gets the most votes that wins the day. That's how the referendum operates. But it doesn't work that way in the great gospel referendum. There, it's whoever chooses wisely that wins the day. And Jesus believed that he needed to die upon the cross, that he needed to be crucified so that sinners might be saved, and so that those sinners might be enabled to follow him. That's what Jesus believed. And the wisdom of the world rejects that. And all of us have to choose whether we will follow the wisdom of the world or whether we will follow the wisdom of Jesus. And only you can make that choice for yourself. And you must make that choice. You cannot abstain. You must either remain in your sins or leave your sins. Have you voted with your heart? And have you voted with your feet to remain in your sin? Or have you voted with your heart and voted with your feet to leave your sin, to follow Christ, and to follow the wisdom of God? Scriptures tell us that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. We sing to God's praise, part of Psalm 107. Psalm 107, sing the stanzas from 13 through to 17. The tune is Newington, number 123. This psalm speaks in this part of it about people who acted foolishly. Some acted foolishly, stanza 13. And walked in wrong, rebellious ways, and did affliction bear because of their iniquities. But then in their trouble, they cried to the Lord. And stanza 15 says, he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word to save. He healed them and delivered them and kept them from the grave. And those people's lives are changed. In stanza 17, it says, and let them also offer him the sacrifice of praise and thanks as they tell of his works, and songs of joy they raise. God is able to save those who have acted foolishly. He is mighty to save. Christ crucified is able to triumph over the foolishness of man. The Lord saves those who act foolishly, but who cry out to him in the midst of their trouble. And let's pray that that's what will be happening in these days in which we're living. Psalm 107, stanzas 13 to 17, the tune Newington, 1, 2, 3. After the singing of this portion, I close the service in the benediction.
Some acted foolishly. wisely and walked in wrong, rebellious ways, and did affliction bear because of their iniquities. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food. They took death's gates, drew near in trouble to the Lord. They cried, and he to them gave ear. He saved them out of their distress. He sent his word to save. He healed them and delivered them and kept them from the grave. Let them give thanks now to the Lord, for his love never ends, and for his works of wonder done unto the sons of men. And let them also offer him the sacrifice of praise and thanks as they tell of his works, and songs of joy they raise.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.